It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The swimming and boating season is underway in Wisconsin, and people with lakeside homes and vacation spots keep a close eye on the well-being of their local lakes.
Some communities go a step further to form what are called lake districts. These allow property owners to oversee pollution sources, ordinance changes, and other issues on the lake.
Wisconsin has more than 250 lake districts. We'll hear from two local leaders of those districts.
First, for more on Wisconsin Lake District laws, we turn to Eric Olson, Director of the Extension Lakes Program at UW-Stevens Point. Eric, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
You work with lake organizations all over the state. Can you explain what is a lake district?
A lake district is a special purpose unit of local government, and it's very focused on really taking care of lakes. Often it's just one lake. It can be a chain of lakes, potentially. And the main power of a lake district is to raise money needed to care for that lake. And it could be restoring the lake or it could be protecting it if it's already in good shape.
What would be the difference then between a lake district and a lake association? Is there a distinction?
Sure. Yes, there's a pretty big one. A lake association is just a nonprofit organization, and they're going to raise money through fundraisers and members that pay dues. Their budget really kind of depends on how generous people are and whether people want to join. A lake district is sort of like your school district, where it sets a tax level. And if you're within the lake district, it's not optional. It's compulsory. You're going to be contributing towards that budget.
So are the people who then hold offices in lake districts, are those volunteer capacities? Are those paid positions?
Yeah, it's very much like your school board, I think. Most of them are unpaid. They're volunteers. They can be appointed. There's going to be most lake district boards will have some people that are appointed to the board and then some that are elected. If the people in that lake district choose to give a stipend or something to the people that are serving in those boards, they can do that. But I would say most of them do not. It's mostly just volunteer.
And you find that there's the steady growth of lake districts around the state. What is driving communities to create these units of government?
Sure. So a couple of different things. One of them is on lakes that have a dam, and the dam causes the lake levels to rise up. So in Wisconsin, we sometimes call these flowages. Sometimes we just call them impoundments. These dams, as engineered structures, occasionally they need help. They need work. And it could be a minor repair or it could be a major repair, but it's typically pretty expensive. And when people then look at the cost that might be associated with it, and they look around at their neighbors and they say, well, we need a mechanism for us to all chip in on this cost. We can't just do it voluntarily. Another one is really the ongoing expenses of both aquatic plant management and dealing with invasive species. Many lakes have Eurasian water milfoil. It's a type of aquatic plant. It can grow very fast and it can limit people's recreational activities. So they either want to do some sort of plant management, and that also can be kind of expensive. If they want to buy a plant harvester, for example, a floating piece of equipment to harvest plants, that could cost north of $100,000. And once again, they want to say, well, if we're all going to benefit from this thing, shouldn't there be a way for us all to chip in? So it solves what an economist would call a free rider problem, where if it's just a lake association, some people say, well, I want to join. I don't need to donate. I'll get the benefit anyway. You know, those people are the free riders. If it's a local government, everybody is chipping in, and so there aren't any free riders.
And there are competing priorities then for these units of government, these lake districts. How do the districts figure out what rises to the top, where they should put their priority?
It's a really interesting kind of form of government because there's the board that we talked about before with the elected and appointed commissioners. But the real rubber hits the road when the lake district holds an annual meeting. And unlike your school district and your county board, it's the taxpayers themselves who get to determine what the budget is. They get to modify the budget, and then they get to vote to approve the budget.
What is the balance of power then between these lake districts and the surrounding county? And what is communication like?
Sure. So another reason why people form lake districts is as a nonprofit lake association, you may not get much attention by the county, or maybe they think of you as just sort of a small group of property owners having picnics. Once you form a lake district, you're a local unit of government as well. And in fact, most lake districts will have a county appointment to the governing board. And that really opens up a pathway for the county and the Lake District to communicate on issues. Remember, the Lake District doesn't have a whole lot of power. Its main power is really just that ability to raise taxes to pay for the programs that they want to be involved in. If they want to do other things, like if they want to regulate recreational activities on the lake, it's actually not the county they work with, but it's the local governments. It could be the town government or multiple town governments, and the town boards would interact with the Lake District. And those local governments also have an appointment to the board. So the town or a city or a village will be making an appointment as well.
Eric, is there any body of evidence that finds that these lake districts lead to healthier lakes compared to, you know, bodies of water that have no organized structure around them?
In Wisconsin, there's not a lot of this research that's been done. It's kind of unfortunate. I do know of research in Florida where they have similar lake district structures that has actually shown that the lakes with lake districts carry out more programs and do a better job of taking care of their lakes. Our lakes, you know, if it wasn't for sort of recreational activities and development around the lakes, maybe they could just take care of themselves. But we really have modified the watershed and the shoreline and the lake itself through human activities. And I think it is only through concerted efforts like what lake districts do that we're able to mitigate those harmful impacts. So I do see more groups thinking about, you know, the long term and having a more dependable and stable funding basis to carry out lake restoration projects. I just give the example in Dodge County, there are now three fairly large lake districts encompassing the three largest lakes in Dodge County, and they're all collaborating together and working with county government to figure out watershed-based strategies to protect water quality in those lakes. And without a lake district, again, I think they'd be focusing too much time on, you know, holding fundraisers or tracking down sponsors for different events. Whereas now they're able to focus their time and energy on the work itself. What's going to have to happen in order to restore the watershed and reduce the nutrients that are coming into their lakes?
Do you have any advice that you can pass along to people who want to see a positive change on their local lake or to create a district?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing for whatever you want to do is to start talking to other people. Make sure you're not doing anything in isolation. We have well over 600 lake associations and now over 250 lake districts in Wisconsin. On our webpage at Extension Lakes, you'll actually find a directory where you can search by county or lake name and see if there already is a group that exists. We also have an online guide called People of the Lakes. And the first chapter of that guide is really about, you know, how would you get started? Who would you communicate with? And how would you maybe even hold a meeting, assuming you're on a lake that doesn't have any organization at all? Why not get started? And so we're able to answer questions and help people out if they want to get started. It's rare that we would recommend someone jump right into forming a lake district. Instead, we would say, you know, start maybe thinking about an association, talk to your neighbors, find out sort of how much interest there is in helping out. Because one person alone or one family or two families aren't going to be able to take care of an entire lake. It really has to be a collective effort.
Eric, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. I hope people learned something about lake districts today.
That was Eric Olson, director of the Extension Lakes program at UW-Stevens Point. We're talking about lake districts in Wisconsin, which are bodies of government that provide local power to community members. Joining us now is Lynn Amundson, secretary of the Callahan Mud Lake District in Hayward. Also with us is Tammy Schottsnyder, chairman of Little Green Lake Protection and Rehabilitation District in Green Lake County, Wisconsin. Tammy, starting with you, what is lake life for you and what makes your lake so special?
Little Green Lake is about a 460-acre lake, pretty centrally located in Wisconsin. It is a full recreational lake. Personally, what I enjoy most about it is swimming and boating. However, there are a lot of fishermen. I would say that's probably the most popular activity that occurs on our lake, and some sailing, some paddle sports. So it is really a beautiful, quiet community. It's not a large lake, so there is some camaraderie among neighbors and property owners as well.
And Lynn, you're based in the North Woods on Callahan Lake and Mud Lake. What does the lake community look like there?
Callahan and Mud Lake have been in existence since early the 1930s when it was a logging lake. It is about 600 plus acre lake composed of Mud Lake, Callahan Lake. The North Fork of the Chief River runs through that. We do have a public landing on the north side. We also have two big resorts that allow for launching your boats. Approximately about 140 to 150 houses and cabins now sit amongst the lakes, with new development occurring all the time. And our dam sits off of Callahan Lake Road on the south side of the lake.
Tammy, I'm going to go back to you here. How did the Little Green Lake Protection and Rehabilitation District start? What got it off the ground?
The earliest records that we have were really the establishment of a sanitary district that happened in the late 1960s, about 1968. And historically, sanitary districts did exercise some of the lake management activities. However, for about 10 years from the 70s and 80s, there was a lake association where property owners got together and took some responsibility for the lake management activities. There are challenges. There are, you know, pros and cons of that. Of course, it's an engaged group, but they are volunteers and they are responsible for raising their own funds. In 1984, the Lake District was officially created to replace the sanitary district. And that was done in response to growing concerns about deteriorating water quality. We're a taxing authority, so there is not a need to raise funds like an association would do. We have tax revenue that helps fund the work that we do on the lake, and we are bound to some statutory responsibilities. So it's a little more of a formal governing process than had occurred prior to that time.
But I would imagine that all property owners around the lake have unique opinions and unique perspectives on how tax dollars should be spent. Has that been an issue?
I wouldn't say it's an issue. We're fortunate to have very engaged property owners. We have about 360 Lake District residents, and about 250 of them are riparians. We have an annual meeting, and we usually have at least 100 people that attend. So our district members are interested in having us do, get guidance from them if there's something they'd like us to do differently. So it's not to say that, you know, there's always 100% agreement, but I think we have a lot of good dialogue around what's important.
Lynn, turning back to you, the Callahan Mud Lake Protective Association recently formed the Callahan Mud Lake District. You're the former president. What led the association to become a lake district?
Well, the Callahan Mud Lake Protective Association has existed since around 2007 with volunteer membership, and have always worked very closely with the DNR for any AIS surface water grants and other water issues. September of 2022, after multiple years of DNR inspections of our dam, they again stated in 2022 that the dam is in very poor condition and needs repair. So we brought that to the Callahan Mud Lake Association members and approved through their voting to form what we call the Exploratory Dam Committee. There's been many, many years of question about ownership of the land around the dam. So that is something we needed to explore further. Once that process was approved by the Callahan Mud Lake Association, volunteers joined that committee and have been working on it for over 2.5 years before the whole process took place that we went through to form that lake district.
And so rebuilding the dam infrastructure, that whole issue really brought the attention of how much work there is as part of an association. You know, can you talk a little bit about that transition into a district?
It really was a process, a lot of research into education we received from UW Extension, great, knowledgeable people. Really becoming very comfortable in learning the Wisconsin Chapter 33 statutes in which the lake districts run under, developing marketing and informational material, doing presentations, developing a website, really looking to be totally transparent and educate all of the property owners and all of those around in our community up here, you know, what it means to be a lake district, what a lake district can do, what are the rules. We need to look at the whole question of ownership, working with Sawyer County and the town around Lake. Now, lake districts up here in Sawyer County, completely a new concept. Although we know there's a couple hundred plus in the state of Wisconsin, this was totally new for everybody. So we took our time developing the proper petition, putting into place a boundary map that we wanted for those boundaries within our Lake District, submitting that to Sawyer County, achieving well over the 51% that's required by the Wisconsin statutes to become a Lake District. And then it went through a couple of different committees at Sawyer County.
Tammy, now that it's summer, though, what are members of the Green Lake District talking about and meeting about and working on?
We've been working on updating our lake management plan. This is typically something that's undertaken about every 5 years, and that involves collecting a lot of data on plants, fish, watershed, identifying what issues might exist, and then partnering with community members and district members to find out what are the goals, what would our residents like to see improved around the lake, and then working with the DNR to get approval on any plans for improvement or restoration activities. We started our partnership with a company called GEI in January. Mm-hmm. They're doing an aquatic plant study right now. And so we're in that data gathering phase. So we're excited to see what they find. And then finally, we are working to have an ordinance passed that would prohibit wake-enhanced boating on our lake. Little Green Lake, I mentioned, is about 460 acres. Its deepest point is 28 feet, but its average depth is 10 feet. Evidence shows that type of boating can be quite damaging, especially in shallow lakes or at depths under 25 feet, which is nearly all of our lake. Our lake sits within two municipalities, the city of Marquezan and the town of Green Lake, and we're working with both of those municipalities to pass matching ordinances.
Lynn, before we go, do you foresee a need for wake ordinances on Callahan and Mud Lakes?
I don't believe so at this time. Our main concern, one thing I do want to mention, is that our lake association will stay in existence at least through 2026. Because the DNR's AIS surface water grant that was awarded to us in February goes to the Lake Association. So our ongoing concern for water quality, EWN management, bat aquatic species management will be held within the Lake Association, even though they work very closely with what will transfer over to the Lake District after 2026. Right now, we have no plans and no discussion to talk about wakeboarding or other major big projects. The focus right now is to work with the county and the town about being able to see what we can do to reconstruct or rebuild the dam and go from there.
Well, Lynn and Tammy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Tammy Schatzneider, chairman of Little Green Lake Protection and Rehabilitation District, and Lynn Amundson, secretary of the Callahan Mud Lake Protective Association in Hayward. Earlier, we spoke with Eric Olson, director of the Extension Lakes Program at UW-Stevens Point.